I remember hearing in a sermon years ago now this particular story, and I've used it since. It stuck with me then. It's a story about Jesus arriving in heaven after his ascension to be met by the angels. And they congratulated him on the work he had done and this wonderful gift of salvation that he had provided for all mankind through his death and resurrection. And they said to him, "This is wonderful. But how now do you plan to get the news of this salvation out to everyone in the whole world?" And he turned to them and he said, "Well, I've got this small group of men and women who love me and follow me. And I've commanded them to go in the power of the Holy Spirit and to share this news of the gospel and to bring people into my kingdom on earth." And the angels, who knew a little bit about this group of people and who knew the weaknesses in humans anyhow, said to him, "Well, that's very good, but supposing that doesn't work, supposing they let you down, what's your plan B?" And the Lord said, "I've got no plan B. I need no plan B. I've commanded my people who love me, and they will go, and they will spread the message. And together with the power of the Spirit of God, my kingdom will be built." And he was right. And that's the wonderful thing. He is right. God's kingdom keeps on growing, and we are all part of it. There's a tremendous growth and push in the church today. And the Lord is preparing for his coming, and we are part of that. For to each one of us who belongs to Jesus Christ and calls ourselves Christians, to us has been given this privilege of growing the kingdom. It is a non-negotiable for the believer to be part of the growth of God's kingdom, to be God's kingdom's growers by the power of the Spirit. But as well as being a non-negotiable, it is in fact a natural part of who we are as the family of God. Whether we treat growing God's kingdom as a priority in our life or not, we can't avoid the fact that deep inside every Christian is this feeling of wanting the kingdom of God to grow, of wanting others to become Christians. Just ask yourself that this morning. Check your own inner heart. And you know deep inside, yes, you want others to become Christians. And you want God's kingdom to grow. Now, some are so moved by that desire, that wanting, that they make sharing of their faith and belief and trust in Jesus a daily priority. They give their all to talking about the Lord, to encouraging other Christians and to sharing with non-Christians. They pray passionately for God to give them boldness and to give them strength and to give them opportunity. And the Holy Spirit does. And God works through them mightily as his kingdom grows. But then we also know there are some who follow the Lord Jesus Christ and yet who seem hardly moved by this feeling of wanting God's kingdom to grow. They've made a confession of their faith in Christ, but by their lifestyle, you would hardly know it. They reveal no passion to share the gospel. And they themselves are so much centre of their lives that the growth of God's kingdom and the fate of those who do not know Jesus Christ as Saviour, it hardly makes a ripple in their thinking. Now, somewhere between these two groups, the ones who are so passionate, they're so out there, in your face all the time, and the ones who you just wonder whether they really are Christians sometimes. Between these two exists the majority of Christians. People like you and me. People like the lady whose story is in the participator today. If you haven't read it yet, it's the story of a lady who was just had this something about her, this joy about her. And every day when she went to the train, the ticket collector would notice that joy. And he'd wonder about it. And he would look for her to see that joy about her. And then one day, just one day, she was carrying a Bible for some reason. And he noticed the Bible and he said, that must be the reason for the joy. And he went and got himself a Bible and he read it. And the Lord drew him to himself. Now, I think we look at a story like that and we feel a kinship with that lady. A sense of what she did by her manner and by just having the Bible at the right time is also the type of things that we do in the hope that God will use her as, or use us as he used her. That's the desire. So this desire that is found to some degree in every believer is part of our response to this task, this wonderful big task of growing God's kingdom that Jesus has charged us with. But having that desire, whether it's weak in us or whether it's strong, is not enough, is it? We need more than that. We need, firstly, to cultivate that desire to see Christ's kingdom come until it becomes such a passion in us that we find ourselves thinking about it and praying about it every day. That's the first thing we need to do. Second, we need to understand what Jesus really meant when he turned to his disciples and said, go and make disciples. And thirdly, we need to know what we should be doing right now so that by the power of God the Spirit, we will be effective kingdom growers. So let's have a look at the first one. To cultivate the desire in our hearts to see Christ's kingdom grow. And to cultivate that desire, you need to feed it. You need to feed it until you so want Christ's kingdom to come here on earth that you'll live to be involved in some way in that process. And I believe that feeding comes through two things, through interest and involvement. We need to deliberately, each one of us, increase our interest in the work of God's Spirit in the world today. You know, God is at work in the world today. Are you interested in that? Are you willing to increase your interest in that? Because as believers, we should want to know what God's doing. Julie prayed for the persecuted Christians. I know Julie has a real interest in what God's doing amongst the persecuted Christians. That's the type of thing I'm talking about. Now, every time a missionary comes to this place, we should be here. Not just to support them, but to learn about what God is doing somewhere else other than here. If here is all we know about, we have a very narrow view of what God's doing in our world. When a fellow believer has a story to tell about God working through them, we should want to hear that. Should say, tell me again. We should encourage them as they talk about it. We should take time to talk to those who have been to Impact Africa or are going to Impact Africa. And to Charmaine, as she talks to us about Cambodia, we should take the time so we know, not just about them, but what God is doing in our world. We should talk to our chaplain, Jenny. We should find out what's happening in our local schools. We should be interested in the work God is doing through his people. That's the first, that's the beginning. But interest is not enough. The next word is bigger, isn't it? Involvement. Be involved in some way. We are so fortunate here. Being not a very large fellowship, there's lots of opportunities to be involved in some way in growing God's kingdom. Involved in being somewhere or doing something in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You may never know what impact any one of those cards you dropped in a letterbox at Easter or Christmas will have on someone, will you? But you're involved. You will never know whether last year or this year, next Sunday, when you come to the Lions Fair and when you spend a few minutes or a half an hour just been there for God under the banner of Craigie Baptist Church and perhaps giving out a literature or sharing or handing out a cup of tea. You would never know. But God will do that. But you will be involved. You may never know the benefit of having a visitor to the church around for a meal. Or that person in your street you take the bread to every week after Sunday service. You will never know, but you will be involved. And God will use that. And let me tell you this, it will take your time. But it's time the Lord has given you. And you're giving it back to him. And you know, when you are involved and then have this chance to be more than just there for Jesus, when suddenly a conversation breaks out and you've got a chance to say something, gee, that blessing is amazing. Isn't it an amazing feeling? We all say that. We all know that. Last Thursday, our Breakfast Club team didn't have breakfast here. We had a break from doing it here. So what do? We'll take the morning off. No. We actually all go over to help the school run their big healthy breakfast. And there was a team of about six of us there, I think. Probably a couple more. What I liked was we were all there being involved for Jesus. I went into the kitchen over there at the canteen and it was just full of Craigie people. There's no one else in there except Craigie people doing all the preparation. We're somewhere in their red Craigie t-shirts. It was great. We were involved. While we were there, I was just there, and one of the teachers who we've known, got to know now from Canberra days, quite a character. From what I gather, she's not a Christian, in fact, probably more prone the other way. But she's really got to know us, and she always chats with us. And she said to me on Thursday, Keith, she goes, your church sign out there is a really good one this month. This is the church sign that Jeff Wood puts up every month, and it changes every month. She said, it's really great. She said, I sat there and worked it out one day. You see, if you don't look at it, I don't know if you've seen it. But it's very interesting because the words, I'm not going to tell you what they are, you're going to have to look, but the words are made up of carpenter's tools. Gives you a clue. She said, that was such a great message there. She said, I would have liked to take my kids from school over and explain it to them, but I can't do that. I hope you do it with your kids at the church. Friday we took the youth group out there, we sat out in the grass and we had our devotion around that poster. You know, I went and I was so excited about that. But it pushed me to pray for her even more. That's involvement. It gives you a buzz. The second point, we've got to understand what Jesus really meant when he said, go and make disciples of all nations. That is the Great Commission. See, Matthew, we all know it. It's a passage that Julie read to us from Matthew chapter 28. Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. What follows relates to the specific details of doing that. Baptism, teaching. But it is what Jesus says first that is so important for us. He says, go. And notice it comes with all the authority of Jesus. And that is total authority. Authority over all the powers of heaven and earth. Authority over all the power of men and all the power in the spirit world. Total authority. And he gives us both the right and the power to carry out his command. And this command is to go. And the basic meaning behind that word go is action. You don't go by sitting and doing nothing. Go means action. And the command for us to go is given to the body of believers. That's important you understand that. Jesus spoke to his disciples. And they were representing the bodies of disciples that have grown up ever since throughout the world. That includes us. So it's given to us too. to the disciples, he says, go and make disciples. Did you notice that? So the first thing is the go. The command to go is for us as a body, and it can only be fulfilled to its full potential when everyone is in some way active in that going. Your activity might be prayer. Your activity might be being involved. Your activity might be finance. Your activity might be supporting. But everybody's got to be involved to bring its full potential. Of course, the body of Christ can and does still go without the support of everyone. But I reckon the blessing of that going will be less than it could have been if not everybody's involved. So that's the going. But what's the purpose? To make disciples. I want you to note something here. Jesus doesn't say, go ye and make converts. Go and make believers. And the reason he didn't say that is because we can't do that. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit converts people. The Holy Spirit touches hearts and brings them to the Lord Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit brings them to the point where they believe. What Jesus does, he calls his people to help and to draw those who the Holy Spirit draws to God, the converts, and to help them to become disciples, like these disciples were. And that process of making one another disciples never stops. Because you see, we're not just making disciples out of those who just come to know the Lord, are we? We're still making disciples out of one another. I'm still being made into a disciple. And you help do that. And I help you. And you help others. And we help one another and new people. See what it means? The strength of it is very strong. For a disciple is one who is following Jesus, living for Jesus, and growing every day in their understanding of Jesus. This is our task. That's what we're here for. It applies to the non-Christians who we share our faith with and who the Spirit draws to himself. And it also applies to one another, to those in this fellowship. And it also applies to those the Lord brings into our fellowship who are already mature Christians. They are still here for us to disciple, and they will help disciple us at the same time. Jesus knew that any converts would need a family to be part of. That's obvious, isn't it? A family that would help them grow. And why would they help them grow? Because that family was already helping each other grow. So they just fall into it. And everybody, in some way, helping others become disciples. As a church, we have this responsibility to make our fellowship a place where discipleship of everyone is a priority. But it's a priority not just for our sake, but for the sake of those the Lord wants to draw into our midst. Now, our greatest concern should be for those who God brings through the doors of this place. Every one of us who are already here is in some way responsible for them. Not just Terry at the door, not just those who speak well, not just the pastor or the leaders. Everybody is responsible. And if we do not see them as a priority, then we become inward focused. And God will surely stop sending people if that's the case. Discipling one another is loving one another, encouraging one another, teaching by word and example the way of living like Jesus. That's what we've got to do. The third thing is, well, what should we be doing right now? You and I doing right now by the power of God the Spirit so that we will be effective kingdom growers. Well, it's Peter in that second reader, in one reading, in 1 Peter 3:15, who gives us two things we must do. He says this, "But in your hearts, set apart Christ as Lord." I like the way the Contemporary English Version puts that. Honour Christ and let him be the Lord of your life. That's the first thing, isn't it? That's where it all begins. Is he Lord of your life? Or are you Lord of your life? Or is your ego Lord? You know, everything's going right as long as I'm top person. Or is it your abilities that actually take over as Lord? Or your attitudes? Or your opinions become Lord of your life? Or is it your money or your time or your possessions? I don't know, I trust many of you have been reading our little booklet we've been doing. We're through a few days now. Remember, this leads us right up to Easter Sunday. If you did, you would have noticed both yesterday and today are actually about giving ourselves over to the Lordship of Christ. Read that. You will see how apt this is. So we have to make him Lord first. But then there's the preparation of the mind. Notice what it goes on to say. And always be prepared, always be ready to give an answer when someone asks you about your faith. Whether the person who asks you is a fellow Christian, or whether the person that asks you is a non-Christian who is searching, or whether it's a new Christian, we've got to be prepared. How much effort do you put into being prepared to do that? Really and honestly, how much effort? One of our home groups at present is doing a study on a DVD which gives you some questions about the faith. That's Steve's group. So if you want that's being prepared, isn't it? Other home groups are going through that little booklet or doing other studies. That's being prepared. It takes time to be there, but you're preparing yourself. Reading God's word daily is preparing yourself. Trying to get the most out of the sermon, I will emphasize on try, is preparing yourself. Talking to another believer about your faith and about their faith is preparing yourself. The list goes on and on. But the key ingredient is doing something. You need to be doing something to be prepared, because you will never know when the opportunity to share may come. Colin Atwood is on that journey, and it's a tough journey because he knows he will die, but he doesn't know when. But one thing about Colin, he hasn't wasted that period. And one of the things he's been doing over the last several months is trying to learn more about his Christian faith. So I've sat with him, we've gone through studies together, and he's talked to Laurel and learned a lot from her, and he's talked to others. He told me about 3 weeks ago he had a carer come in to sit with him. Now, this carer wasn't the one who was supposed to come. They were sick or something. This was a replacement, an emergency. One who didn't normally do that role. They came and they sat down next to Colin and they said, "I'm glad I'm able to sit with you, because I'd like to ask you, what's it like for you to face death?" She said, "So many people don't want to talk about it, but I've got a feeling you would like to." And he said, "Yes," he said, "I'd love to." And he told her that he faced death different because he believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, his Saviour. And as he shared with her, he asked her where she stood. And she started to say, "Well, I call myself a Christian, but I'm not sure." And he started to tell her about the need to have a personal relationship with God, which she hadn't even contemplated before. Now, he may never see that person again. Now, what he said, "I got a real buzz out of that." But he said, "I realised I never thought I would ever be sharing my faith in Jesus. But," he said, "you know, I could share because of all the stuff that you've been sharing me, and Laurel's been sharing me, and others have been sharing me over the months that I didn't even think I would have." Preparation. You really are. That's our responsibility. Then we've got to be prepared for it, haven't we? There's no doubt in my mind at all, there's no doubt in the scripture that God wants his people to be involved in growing his kingdom. Why would he use us? I don't know, but he does. And it's definitely a non-negotiable for the Christian. But though we all want to see God's kingdom increase and others become Christian, many of us, and I include myself in this at different times, we tend to feel a little bit fearful about the part that God will give us to play, whether we will actually be up to it. When Luke 12:32, Jesus gave these encouraging words to his disciples. He began with the words, "Do not be afraid, little flock." That's how I feel. You ever felt like a little flock? "Do not be afraid, little flock. For your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions, give to the poor. Provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will not be exhausted, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." What I believe the Lord is saying here is that we may well have been given this responsibility for being God's kingdom growers here on earth. But the wonderful news is that the Father has already given us the kingdom that one day we will be part of. Still to come, but we will be part of that kingdom. And we're going to really enjoy being part of it with billions of others who are excited to be there too. And we will see on that day all that the Lord has prepared us for. And we're going to think, "Wow, I didn't realize it was going to be this incredible." And all we've been saved from. So we need to be encouraged. We need to be encouraged now to know that whatever the cost of seeking to grow God's kingdom here in the now is, and there will be a cost, the wonder of the treasure which is still to come, and the joy that we will see on the face of God, that's going to make it also worthwhile.